Matthew 23:37. Jesus, in the time leading up to the arrest, trial, crucifixion, and resurrection, says in verse number 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. It is incredible to me as I think about how people react and attack those whose sole purpose is to help them. All they want to do is help them. But you know, help comes in many forms. Teachers, coaches, nurses, doctors, friends, co-workers. Help comes in many forms. But we especially resist the help that is offered when that person helping us tells us we are wrong. How many of you like to be told you're wrong? We don't like to be wrong. We don't like to be told we're wrong. But the only way to not be wrong is for someone to correct us when we are wrong. And God sent prophets, preachers. Some of them were quite eccentric, weren't they? Think of Elijah and his appearance, wild looking. Think of John the Baptist, his camel hair suit, right? Just eating locusts and wild honey, loud and boisterous and just preaching. What John the Baptist said, ye generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? People to show up to church, and John the Baptist would preach hard at them. And so they would get uncomfortable, and eventually it led to his beheading, his death, his execution. But John the Baptist was sent by God to warn the people. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's what the Bible says. And Jesus here in Jerusalem, in the final days of his ministry, says, we sent prophets and you killed them. We sent helpers and you stoned them. These people are here to help you. Guys, I know that people don't like being told they're wrong. I know that people don't like it when we disagree with their opinions. But if something doesn't change in our country, it's going to keep getting worse. Culturally and socially, criminally, spiritually, we have got to make a correction. And that correction has got to start in God's house with God's people. It's one thing for us to sit back and blame everybody else, but the number one person I need to get on to is me. The number one person that needs to change in order to make any kind of difference is myself. And for you, it would be the same thing. That person you look at in the mirror. You have got to. We have got to. I have got to. And we've got to get our message right. Our message has to be Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, love and hope and forgiveness. Forgiveness of the past and love for today and hope for the future, which is found in Jesus Christ. And we've got to refute all other ideas. Well, if you're just a good person, no, you could be a good person and burn forever in the lake of fire. You need Jesus as your Savior. Well, I don't believe in all that Bible stuff. Well, that Bible stuff is the only hope you've got. The only hope I've got. Well, but in college they taught me, but was your college professor an idiot or was he a Christian? Does he believe in one God, the Creator? Does he believe in the Savior, Jesus Christ? Guys, there are lots of people, college educated and no education, who are going to go to heaven. And there are lots of people, college educated and no education, that are going to go to lake of fire. Education is not the deciding factor. Faith in Jesus Christ is the deciding factor. And God sent prophets, preachers, not just pastors, preachers. What did Jesus say to the church? Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel. Isn't that what he said? As he sent me, Jesus said, even so send I you. Who are the prophets of today? Are they the pastors in the pulpits? Well, they better be. But it better be the Christians in the pews. It better be everybody in the church. Guys, this world needs all of us on deck. I don't know. I never served in the Navy. But I've seen some movies and heard some things, and we've got educated people among us. They sound the horn and they say, all hands on deck. Is that real? They really say that? Man your battle stations. What does that mean? Well, somebody will do it. No, it means you. It means I signed up and I got to do it. When you got saved, you told Jesus, I accept your forgiveness. I put my trust in you and I believe everything you send me to do. And when you joined the church and you were buried in the waters of baptism, risen to walk in newness of life, you covenanted yourself to God to be part of His organization, to get the word out that there is a Savior and there is an eternity and there are only two destinations. You said you would do that. Well, I didn't know what I signed up for, but you signed. Guys, it's up to all of us to share the gospel with your family, with your neighbors, with your friends, with anybody that you that God brings to your heart and to your mind. I'm not saying you got to walk down the sidewalk and hit up everybody in Walmart. But if the Holy Ghost lays it on your heart that you need to talk to somebody about Jesus, talk to them. Tell them there's a Savior. Tell them what Jesus did for you. Hey, sir, can I just tell something? Can I just tell you something? I want you to know I gave my life to Jesus. He washed my sins away and I've never regretted it. And you can too. I want you to know that. You want to know how to do that? Well, I don't go to church. This has nothing to do with church. Well, I don't understand. Well, that's why God sent me, to help you understand. God loves you. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. I was reading something this week. A young lady who used to be involved in this church. And somebody came up to her and told her Jesus loves her. And it just set her off in a negative way and blew her up. She couldn't believe anybody would have the nerve to tell her, when she was sitting there minding her own business at a restaurant, that Jesus loves her. What an awful thing to say. She said, as she continued to sit there eating, stewing over that person telling her that Jesus loves her, somebody else came up and said, from the look of your hair, I bet you're high right now, aren't you? She just couldn't help but get offended by everybody who walked up to her that day. I can understand somebody looking at me and by my outward appearance saying, you must be on drugs and you must be high, and that would probably offend me. But for someone just to simply say, Jesus loves you. Guys, we're in such a society now where even people who grew up in church and Christian homes and prayed and asked God's forgiveness have been so twisted by the effects of this world that they don't know God. The education system is pushing them away from God. Hollywood and the silver screen pushing them away from God. The friends and family and job place pushing them away from God. And the only ones trying to warn them is the church. Are the church. If we do. But do we? By your example, is anybody going to heaven? By your testimony, by your preaching, by your sharing, by your warning, is anybody going to heaven? Because if it's up to you, just you, is heaven going to be empty? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stone them which are sent unto thee. Jesus says, I sent you help and you stoned them. The prophets you killed, the others you beat up, left them bruised. It's no wonder pastors and preachers and Christians quit. This is a very volatile world, a very hostile society when it comes to Christianity. I get it. There are people that don't want to hear it. But you know what the Bible says? If you warn them and they don't heed the warning, you have saved yourself. But if you don't warn them, then you are guilty of their death. How about that? And if you warn them and they hear you, then you have both saved your own self and theirs also. Guys, we need to heed the warning. Jesus said, they're warning us that our desires and behaviors could destroy us. The preacher's up there preaching against alcohol again. I wish it was all gone. It destroys families. You say, but it doesn't destroy my family, but it does destroy families. It's a terrible thing. And you could live without it. That's the thing. I've been living without it all these years. And I know it doesn't seem so right now, but I'm a pretty happy person. I'm jubilant most of the time. Happy. But I don't need drugs or alcohol. I don't need that stuff in my life. And you know, it's incredible. I was talking to somebody, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and he said, well, he was feeling down, so he started drinking. I said, sir, you do understand. Alcohol is a depressant. It's going to make you feel worse, not better. But the advertisement on TV has everybody running at the beach and having a great time. They lie about everything on TV. Well, the man said it was going to rain the other day, and it didn't. Prophets were sent to help us. We are the ones sent. His example of love, he goes on to say, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings. You know what Jesus said for this Mother's Day? Jesus said, the best example I can give you of how I love you is how a mama chicken loves her chickens, of how a mother loves her children. Jesus says, Jerusalem, I sent you help, and you rejected it. How often would I, if I were you, Mom, I would gather my children under my wings like a hen does. What does that mean? Well, a mother hen does that to protect her little ones. A mother hen does that to love her little ones, to keep them warm, to give them nurture, and to give them health. A mama, Jesus says, if I wanted you to understand how much I love you, I'll tell you it was a mother's love. Amen. Think about my mom and how she loved me, was a good Christian example, took us to church. Now, you know, there were periods of times where we as a family were backslidden out of church, but most of the time in my memory, we went to church. And I knew the love of my mom and how she cared about us children and protected us children and blessed the children. And I see the love of Jesus in my mama. And I see Jesus here telling us that His love is like that of a mama, of a mother. Of a mother hen, nonetheless, but that's the example. It's still a mother's love. How often would I have gathered thy children together? Isn't that true? How moms keep the families together. How moms draw the families in and keep everybody loving each other. And then when moms are gone many times, and we've seen the loss through generations, right? When mama's gone, the family doesn't come together anymore like they used to. Yep, through generation after generation. So much has been lost over the years. But he says, how often I would have gathered your children to love and to protect and to nurture. Now, I understand, and let me say this here. I understand not everybody had a loving, protective, giving mother. But everyone should. Everyone should. Jesus said He would have gathered the children. He would have gathered them, but look at what He says. But you would not. You would not. You see, there's a transition. There's a change. Something has happened in the family, Jesus says. Jesus says, I love your children, but you don't love your children. I would have gathered your children, but you would not. I would have taught your children. I would have helped your children, but you would not. What's happened? What's happened in a society where we love our desires and our habits and our preferences more than we love our own children? Jesus said it was true in His day in Jerusalem. I think of Proverbs 14:1, the Bible says, a wise woman buildeth her house. A wise woman buildeth her house, a foolish woman teareth it down. What are we doing? Look at what we're doing by our words, by our actions, with our time. What are we doing? Are we being effective as parents? Are we being effective as Christians? Or are we tearing the world down around us? I would have gathered them, but you would not. Tender, loving, kind, gentle, strong as nails, prayerful, protective. Mom, what about it? You see, I know that the relationships in not only in my life, but in dealing with people through churches, through the decades, I've found this to be true. When dad can't say it, mom can. Dad knows if I say it, they'll take it the wrong way. They'll twist it around. They'll do the exact opposite. But somehow mom can say what needs to be said. Somehow mom will be accepted. There's a trust factor. Think about it. Where did we come from? Mama. Mama had that special relationship. Mama had that special closeness before we were born. There was some connection before we were born with Mama. Jesus says, I would have gathered them, but you would not. Verse 38, therefore, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. You would not. You see what Jesus is saying? Is that if we don't love like a mama hen, if we don't love and take care of and nurture and help our children, that there will be a day when the nest is empty. There will be a day when the house is empty and there are no children there. Which, when you have 9 running around, kind of sounds good. But the truth is this. It's an exciting life, but we love it. We love those children, many of them that we didn't give birth to. But we love them. Jesus loves us. Jesus says if we're not careful, what happens is at the end of our lives, we have no friends. If we don't nurture, if we don't build, then there comes a point where we are what? Alone. In order for a man to have friends, he must show himself friendly, the Bible says. Guys, I know that sometimes alone sounds good. But we need people. We need friends. We need family. We need love. Not just that love from heaven, but the love of others. How fitting it is that Jesus holds a mother's love and a mother's care as an example of how He loves us. Think about it. He sacrificed His body for us. Mom, you feeling that? Yeah. Yeah. He desires our fulfillment and purpose and satisfaction of life. Yeah, He does. He loves us like no one else can. When you say that's true of your mom? Our mothers gave us life. Jesus offers us eternal life. Jesus gave Himself on the cross, was sacrificed, brutally sacrificed, so that we could have life. The question is, will we accept His offer? Will we accept that love of Jesus and say, God, I accept Your love. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. God, I confess my sin and ask You to forgive my sins. I put my trust in You. And I know what You've given for me. And I love You. This day when we celebrate moms, Jesus gives us an example here. And He said, I love you like a mama. You know why? What other love could He tell us that was greater than that? On earth that we could understand in a natural sense. There's no greater love. Let's stand. Father, we thank You for Your love. While we celebrate our moms and we're thankful for them, we do realize that the greatest love of all was that love that came through Jesus Christ, our Savior, to forgive our sins. Because the truth is, there are many sitting in this room that are either estranged from their children or estranged from their moms. And so when they think of that love that a mother has, the relationship, the bond between a mother and child, they see the flaws, they see the faults, they're living it. And yet you love us in spite of our flaws, in spite of our faults. We are not estranged. We don't have to be estranged. But we can receive the forgiveness of sin. God, we put our trust in you and ask you to forgive us. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. You want me to pray with you. But would you today understand that the example Jesus gives us of the love of a mother is just the greatest love that we could understand. And so that's the reason he used that as an example. This is your opportunity. Please, don't leave without getting things right with God this morning. This is your opportunity. Appreciate your attendance, your attention this morning. Anything before we're dismissed? Glad you're here today. Let's pray for those who are away. And I got a message this morning that said we're going to Mama's church today and be in Jamaica the next 2 weeks. I want to go. But anyway, so we do have some people that are traveling and away, and we understand that. But I'm glad you're here today. And let's pray for one another. Don't forget, senior lunch is this Tuesday. Beef O'Brady's up here on the parkway at 11:30. And again, it's you pay for your own lunch, but I don't want there to be any confusion. We don't, you know, it's on you. All right? Anything else? Okay. Let's go to the Lord in dismissal prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Bill Sanders dismiss us, please.